Welcome back to another episode of Afternoon Delight.
Whoop.
I have my volume turned up a little bit too loud there. That got
if you're
me.
Watching on YouTube, I scared him a little bit.
Yeah, it's Kyle Rush. It's Ben Taylor. I got to turn my volume down just a smidge because that one got me. And we're going to have some fun today. Ben has a really interesting topic slash question that we're going to discuss, and then we're going to dive into the schedule a little bit in depth. A little bit more in depth because I found some unique, not unique, but
no, it is unique.
I'll call it favorable. I think there's some favorable scenarios for all.
Based off the first topic we're going to discuss, I think that this will answer some questions with what you came up with.
There you go. So take it away, Ben.
So, and this got brought up to me and just in everyday conversation. So I was like, this would be great for the show. And it is there any, I call it not pressure, but unreasonable pressure because it's his first year. So I don't think that you should start saying, I think the only pressure is you need to win more than six games. That probably would be pressure, I would say. But is there any unreasonable pressure that he upset one of the games that the teams are going to be favored? And I still think Florida and Auburn will be a pick 'em because that's at home. It's at night.
So you're not counting that one.
I'm not counting that one. So you're looking at five. You're looking at Tennessee. Tennessee's going to be favored at home. You're looking at Georgia, who's going to be favored at home.
LSU.
LSU's probably going to be favored even on the road at Auburn just because – but there's more to that. That could change between now and then, and Kyle will tell you here in a little bit about that. Ole Miss is clearly going to be favored with Chambliss at Ole Miss.
At least to start the season. Yeah.
To start the season. Same with Alabama because they're still searching for a quarterback. But Alabama is going to clearly probably be favored in Tuscaloosa. So out of those five, is there any, and that's why I'm using the word unreasonable because I've heard some people say he's got to upset somebody. And I'm like,
so well, tell me what
does he? Does he have
tell
to?
Tell me what you mean by unreasonable. Help me there.
Because I don't think that should be a pressure. I would like to see it.
There's going to be pressure to win those games. There's always pressure to win those games. But what's unreasonable pressure? Do you mean like it could make it to where, you know, there's more riding on year two than there should be? Or is it starts turning into a win or go home situation? Is that kind of what you're talking about?
I think it's a combination thing. I think it turns into here Auburn is again able not to knock off somebody big or that's favored over. Because think about it, Kyle. Think about during the, and I'll leave as early as Malzahn and even the Tubbs days. Auburn was known as could be a giant killer. I mean, I just saw a thing the other day. I didn't realize that Tennessee was favored when we beat them in Knoxville in 2004. One of those old Twitter accounts showed the highlights this morning. I watched it. Tennessee was favored. We were number nine and Tennessee was number eight. And they were favored and Auburn just dog walked them. Yeah.
34-10 or something like that.
So Auburn used to be known as that team that you didn't want to play. And I got to be honest with you. I think that's gone away in the last 5 years. And so now I think Golish, there's a little bit of pressure to kind of get Auburn back to that, oh, crap, Auburn's on our schedule. And we're not there yet, but I think fans are wanting that. I think then that will in turn help with year two, which will in turn help with the next 5 years of it finally getting back to the these are the guys that you don't want to go to Jordan-Hare and you don't want to play them. Because even if you rank number one, you could walk away a loser.
So I'm going to answer this in two ways. Okay. So
that's why I call it unreasonable because it's just year one.
Gotcha. All right. So does losing all five of those games doom Alex Golish at Auburn? The answer is absolutely no.
No.
I don't think at all.
I use unreasonable too, Kyle, because I say the guy that talked to me said, he's got to knock off. I was like, got to or what? Like, what? If he doesn't win one of those five, what happens?
Now, if he doesn't win, so to answer the question in two different ways, does it doom Alex Golish? Is it a signal for doom? It doesn't have to be.
No.
Especially if you're playing those games really competitive. or you have some injuries, you know, whatever. As long as you're not getting blown out and you're not losing them in the stupid ways that you've lost those games in the past, it doesn't have to doom you. Now, does it make it harder? I think the answer is yes. I think if you, or maybe, how about this? Does it make it any easier if you don't win one of those games? I think the answer is no. I think if you were to win one of those five, you win all the games you're supposed to, and you win one or two of those five, the way that Auburn is viewed, because I just feel like Auburn is sitting there on the, you know, they're a rocket ship sitting on the launch pad, and they just have not been able to hit the ignite button.
Boy, you are going into this afternoon delight thing. Skyrockets and
flight. Yeah, they're a rocket ready to go in flight. Yeah. They're ready for the afternoon delight, and they haven't been able to light the fuse.
Right.
And it feels like, man, from a recruit standpoint, from everything, from the fans. Well, I was talking to some people last night, and they were comparing it to the Barfield era. They're like, yeah, man, we're in the Barfield era. Man, people just stopped coming to games. I was like, well, that hasn't happened yet.
No.
Like, it's a powder keg waiting to explode, and if you win one or two of those five games, you're going to set off, I think, some events in motion that could lead to really, really fun things at Auburn that I think they've just been on the cusp of and just haven't been able to get things going. So how do you value that when you talk about pressure?
Right.
Okay. So that's the question. Is unreasonable pressure that, boy, if you win one of those games, you could explode? Or is unreasonable pressure anything outside of, no, five wins in year one or five losses in year one is not going to, doesn't have to derail you? Which one of those sounds like unreasonable pressure? Like,
and I wouldn't even call it unreasonable pressure. I would say I'm just going to go to that scenario you just mentioned. I would say winning one or two of those games heavily outweighs how bad it would be if he lost all five of those games.
That's a great. When you're looking at a graph,
yes,
going in opposite directions or whatever, the graph of going down if you lose five is a lot less,
yes,
a lot less significant than if you were to win two of those.
Yeah,
because then you're talking about
to go skyrockets. To go back to your and what they did during COVID, to the moon, Doge to the moon. If you win two, in your graph scenario, Auburn goes from here to literally here. But if you lose, Auburn goes from here, I don't know, to here. If you lose all five. So
For those that are listening only, his hands were much closer on the second on the second scenario than they were the first scenario.
I keep forgetting that, we got an audio only thing here. So it is. And so that's why I say, I guess that's why I came up with the word unreasonable, because I was like, as I told my buddy when we were talking about this, I said, I just think that we're kind of putting a lot out there, right? And it is talking season. I get it. But we're putting a lot out there right now with some stuff that is heavily unknown. Because I personally, I've told you, I'd be disappointed in seven. Okay. You know, happy with eight, ecstatic with nine. And I think Auburn can get to nine, because I think out of those five, I think that there are two legit wins on there that he can grab and upset somebody.
Well,
and the reason I say that is because of your – this is a good transition into your scenario.
Yeah.
You did some digging, which I'd never even thought to go back and look at this, but I think this makes a huge difference in some of the scenarios you're about to mention.
So it just depends on how much stock you put into, like, trap games, who you play before, who you play after, when your bye week is, and so on and so forth. But in four of those five games, Auburn has a really unique, I want to say, I'm going to say advantage. How about that? I think Auburn.
It makes the game gettable for sure.
I think it's advantage Auburn in this setup, and this is what I mean. Okay, so you play Tennessee on the road. All right, Tennessee starts their season. They play Furman, Georgia Tech, which Georgia Tech will be a tough one, and Kennesaw State. Then they play their SEC opener at home, and it's Texas. So
with
we know Texas
coming into town.
Yeah, we know Texas is going to be loaded. You know, if Sark doesn't choke like he always does, they should be really good. That's probably going to be a pretty physical and intense game. Now, I think it's a advantage for Tennessee that it's at 11 o'clock and not, you know, I mean, night games are great, but I actually think sometimes there's an advantage for the home team at 11 o'clock when you're playing a bigger team like this. Completely but you agree. Got that intense game right there. Could Auburn, you know, then they follow with Auburn. Could Auburn catch them in sort of a hangover scenario after a loss, or could they catch them riding super high after a win and maybe overlooking what Auburn can possibly do? I think that scenario is pro Auburn. Now, Auburn does play Vanderbilt. Auburn plays Vanderbilt prior, which in theory, you know, that's not been the case the last couple of years. In theory, that should be a game that Auburn should win, a home game versus Vanderbilt, this Diego Pavia-less and Eli Stower-less. I think that situation favors Auburn. So that could help Auburn in that scenario, make that game gettable. You want me to keep going?
I mean, because with the schedule, I mean, I've got us winning those first four going into Tennessee.
Yeah.
And so I've got them all gettable. I mean, I told you the Florida game, I think, is a picket. I think it will be. You know, come game time, and Auburn has a distinct advantage there. And then, like you just said, with Vandy back-to-back home games with no Pavia. And so I think that makes a huge difference. And keep in mind, this guy brought up to me the other day, and we've talked about it ad nauseum, and I just didn't even bring it up. But with Golish coaching under Heupel, he knows what their game plan, how they're putting their game plans together. And so he that may be in a bit. Now, vice versa, Heupel also knows the game plans that Golish is putting together because he taught him, so or helped teach him, helped groom him to get to that position from Central Florida and from Tennessee. So so there's also going to be a coaching chess match in that Tennessee game, not just to be a
– Yeah, and Auburn's got Tim Banks. Like, that's not necessarily – he's not necessarily going to know what Tennessee's defense is going to be because he was the defensive coordinator at Tennessee last year. But he's going to know the players and some of their tendencies and things like that. So, yeah, there's just some interesting storylines there. And I would give – I don't want to say team – I'm not going to give Auburn the nod. Like, Auburn should be favored in that game. But I think from all the scenarios around the game, I'd give Auburn the nod there where they have a lot more things in their corner outside of football that are going in their favor.
They've got a lot of opportunities to take advantage of. They got a lot of opportunities to take advantage.
The Georgia one is very interesting.
This is what gets me. When you told me this, I was like,
So Georgia opens the year, and they play seven straight games. And Auburn is the seventh before their bye week. I didn't even tell you this part. So Auburn is game seven before their bye week. They play Alabama at Alabama the week prior to Auburn. So Georgia plays Alabama, Auburn back-to-back on the road in Tuscaloosa. And Auburn is going to be coming off of a bye week. So when you're looking at schedule science, I know we're going to Athens. I know Auburn hasn't beat Georgia in quite some time. If all the things outside of the game being played on the field factor in, Auburn has a ton of, ton of favor here off the field that could benefit them on the field in this matchup.
Yeah, and Stockton's going to get – he's going to get nicked and cut and bruised in the Alabama game. I mean, they still got dudes on both sides of the football at Alabama. I know the people love to focus on DeBoer, but there's still 11 on each side of the football that can do anything at any time. So it's going to be – again, this isn't, we're not saying Auburn should be favored in this game. It's just a lot of opportunities present itself, having the bye week, chance to heal up from Tennessee a little bit. And then more film study. You're going to get a great look at film of both teams with Alabama and Georgia the, you know, the week before. And who, you and I have talked about it with Gunnar Stockton. Maybe he's getting better at getting rid of the football, but he still makes some poor decisions in his tiny body of tucking and running, and who knows what that leads to by game. If he's doing it for seven straight games, who knows what that leads to whenever they take on Auburn. I didn't realize that Auburn was their seventh game of seven straight. So that also
looked at it.
That also poses a factor. So, yeah, that, again, Georgia's going to be favored, but – there are some opportunities for Auburn to take advantage of.
Yes. Moving on, LSU, this may be the most significant one. You know, we said Georgia plays seven straight games and Auburn's the seventh. LSU plays eight straight football games and Auburn is the eighth football game. So one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Yeah. Then they have their bye week before they go, before they play Alabama at home. They come
and
to Auburn.
You, and you get them at home.
You get them at home. It is at 11 a.m. That stinks. But still, I think it's tougher for a road team to sometimes, I don't know. It's hit or miss. Auburn sometimes historically struggled at home at 11. But, you know, you got to get out. You got to get up early. You got to get on the road. I don't know. I feel like that could be a disadvantage for a road team just as much. But eight straight games. Now, they're – they do play Ole Miss. They play Clemson. They open with Clemson. They go to Ole Miss. They play Texas A&M at home. And then they have at Kentucky and Mississippi State as their big games before they get to Auburn. But, you know, Sam Leavitt coming off of an injury, a pretty significant injury. Eight games in a row is a grind, man.
Yeah.
Thank God Auburn's break is like literally right in the middle.
Yeah,
you play five games, I think, in a row. Then you have a break. Now you got to finish with seven games in a row. But man, eight games is brutal. Could Auburn take advantage of that?
Well, there's a couple of things. One, the eight games in a row, because even though you mentioned Mississippi State and stuff like that, like I know that those teams aren't great, but eight straight weeks, those guys are tired of hitting each other after eight straight weeks. Like it gets to where the players need a break, and maybe they want that break. And I'm with you. There are people that will discount that because you're right. Auburn does not tend to play well at 11, but I'm with you on road teams. I think road teams play even worse at 11, in my opinion. And I don't have any science to prove that. I just, you know, they don't stay here. They're going to stay either in Columbus or Montgomery. So they're going to have to get up even earlier to get on the bus, to come in that morning, to get warmed up and all that kind of good stuff. And I know that everybody goes, well, they're between 18 and 22. They'll be fine. I still think there's slower starters for road teams at 11 a.m. than there are home teams. Yeah. And maybe they're able to take advantage. And then the X factor, like we always talk about Byron Brown, well, I think it's Leavitt, because I still am not bought into that Leavitt hype yet. Now, he may – with the teams he's playing, like the Mississippi States of the world, he may light them up and may gain some confidence, but don't know where he is injury-wise. Don't know how he and Lane are going to mesh yet, because Lane did not bring him to media days. I still think there's maybe a personality conflict there of some sort. And it's going to be interesting to see by game eight. If there are two things that can happen. I don't think there's like an in-between. I think Sam Leavitt either comes into his own and he and Lane are on the same page by game eight, or I think that relationship slash his play could be totally gone south by game eight. And then they're going to be in a world of hurt, LSU will be, for the rest of the year, because they ain't just got Auburn on their schedule after game eight. After their bye week, they got a tough schedule too to end the season. So, again, there's the advantages that Auburn has or – excuse me, opportunities. I need to quit saying advantages because people
– I would call it advantage.
Honestly, Kyle, if Auburn does well against Tennessee and Georgia, Auburn may actually be favored over LSU by the time game eight rolls around.
Who knows?
If Leavitt sticks his toe in the ground and doesn't do very well, Auburn could be favored over LSU coming into Jordan-Hare.
Yep. So the last one where I feel like Auburn has some extracurricular advantages is Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. Auburn does have to go to Ole Miss, but you're sandwiched right in between Texas and Georgia. Three consecutive weeks at Texas, Auburn at home, Georgia at home.
And
I mean, that's like the perfect camouflage to me.
It is. It is, because you can't tell me that they won't have Georgia on their mind because of Kirby and what's his name's relationship. Like, they're still buddies. And so they're going to want to beat one another. So not that they're going to be just studying Georgia film during Auburn week. That's not going to happen, but it'll be in the back of their mind. Georgia Bulldogs are coming, and Georgia possibly would be playing Ole Miss probably undefeated at that point.
And you know, there's a decent chance if Ole Miss, you know, if there is no like significant drop off without Lane Kiffin being there, I think there's a decent chance they could be 6-0 going to Texas. And, yep, you know, if you get knocked down after Texas, like Auburn's sitting right there in such a prime spot to be like, put you out of your misery. You know,
as a buddy of mine told me, Auburn's right there to sweep up the ashes after you just
exactly got- because, you know, they're going to have Georgia a little bit on the brain after that one, too. So, yeah. So is there pressure for Auburn to win? Is there unreasonable pressure for Alex Golish to win one of those five? It just depends on how much value you put on what Auburn could, the trajectory of what Auburn could be on if you win one or two of those versus, hey, it's year one. You won 7-5. You went to a bowl game. Like, where do you put the most value? I think that's the answer to the question. And then if you look at the schedule, if Auburn's decent, if Auburn's just a good average offensive football team and they play solid defense, there's some favorable situations in these games we're talking about that could help Auburn actually potentially upset some of those and get on that rocket ship trajectory. Good stuff, man.
Yeah. I know that people complain about like talking season, but there's so many scenarios you can play out between now and when practice begins. And I mean, I'm sorry, but you know, everybody keeps talking SEC versus Big Ten. I just think there's way more storylines in the SEC.
That's so boring to me.
Yeah, than the Big Ten is. I mean, I just think that the storylines like you're talking about with Lane, with even Golish in his first year and Summerall in his first year and where all this it's exciting to think about. So, it was when that question got posed to me, unreasonable pressure. I was like, you know, that's a good way of putting it because it's not reasonable to sit there and go, bro, you better win one of those five or we're canning you. Like, that's not reasonable. So,
or if you don't in year two, you're gone kind of thing.
Yeah. Like that, yeah. It's
quote it's unquote, unreasonable for it to be a soured relationship
already.
Yes. Already after year one,
correct.
So I would say that for a fact, that would be unreasonable. Like calling it a failure if you go 7-5, I just don't agree with that.
I don't either.
I don't mind you being disappointed in that. I think that's fair, but I think calling it a failure would be a little extreme.
Yeah,
just in my opinion. But anyway, guys, thank y'all for listening. We're going to get out of here. War Eagle.
War damn Eagle.